I'm so glad and delighted to be here with you. And you will bear with me if I spend so much of your time. In any case, if I do, I may not come back. So you will be patient a bit, for I will not be with you for quite some time. But one thing is to say, receive greetings from Kenya, receive greetings from my family, my wife Christine and our four children. Receive greetings from the Diocese of Southern Nyanza, where we belong. And I want to say how much I am excited by the sense of the community and love and hostility that I have enjoyed since I arrived here on the 15th day of September this year. It is not something that we expect in the South, because in the South, people have been made to believe if you go to the North, there is no longer a sense of community. But I want to thank the Lord that those who are under the banner of Christ are not the people that they think of. Those who are under the banner of Christ still share the love of Christ. Hallelujah. I therefore feel very much honored and to take the challenge of being part of you for this period of time when the church is hurting a lot as we agonize about the truth. And it is our prayer that those whom the Lord has appointed shall always be a remnant to be able to continue his purposes of salvation. And we are seeing that in the congregations like the Servants of Christ Church. And we do pray that Lord will always keep to uphold you on that you may continue in his paths, because you are not sure whether you will be the instruments of the saving grace of God in this particular part of the world, now and in the future. The two passages that have been read to us this evening, I want to apologize that we had to depart from your practice. And that is the disadvantage of having a bishop. Whenever they go to parishes, they dismantle things there. So it is not only here, it is there also in Kenya. I realize that your practice is that the readings are sent out earlier to those who have been appointed, and it must be according to our lectionary, which I very much respect. But for one reason or the other, we had a special service this evening, and I was feeling it so much heavy in my heart that we contextualize the words that were going to be read at this particular service. So I want to apologize to our brothers and sisters who might have been hurt by that. I want us to reflect on authority and responsibility for the gospel. Authority and responsibility for the gospel. And as I was reflecting on Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 9:15, that is first letter, and reflecting on Matthew 28 from 16, where I'm reminded of some song that always sing what Matthew had written and has written, that, lo, I am with you always, that go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's a song that we sing when I'm home that reminds me about it. And what do we understand by authority and responsibility? Many times when the word authority is mentioned, we are tempted to think of wielding a lot of power and lording it over others. But in the Christian context and in the scriptures, authority does not necessarily mean being somebody so powerful, so strong, controlling all the instruments and can do anything they want with others. But authority is understood to mean that power that we are given to command and order evil forces away from us and away from the people of God. So it is not authority over our fellow human beings, but it is authority over evil power. So in that case, you can talk of those instruments, you can talk of those powers, but they are powers that we have over the enemy of God. When I was a child, I was under the authority of my parents. And I do not think their authority was that authority of lording it over me, but it was authority of ensuring that I was nurtured and grew up as a responsible person. When I was young, I had certain responsibilities, like I was responsible for maintaining my own hygiene, so that I make sure I take bath. I had the responsibility of making sure that when I'm sent to school, I work hard and study so that I later become a responsible citizen. There were also other responsibilities given to me by my parents, like fetching water. In my country, majority of the people do not have water in their homes. So they have to walk and go and fetch that water from another source. That was a responsibility given to me by my parents. I was responsible for working in the garden so that we could have enough food to eat at home. Sometimes when this was happening, I felt like my parents were asking me for too much, as sometimes I could fail to understand why I had to do all these tasks. It could not occur to me that all this contributed not only to my own welfare, but the welfare of the family and the community as a whole. As I was carrying these responsibilities when I was a young child, I never imagined that they were for my own well-being, the well-being of the family, and finally the well-being of the entire community. After grazing cows, we could get milk for our use at home. We could sell some of this milk to get money. And sometimes my mother would give part of the milk or some of the milk to the neighborhood, to the families, some of whom were not able to keep cows. So little did I know, until now when I'm senior in age, I can now remember that much as my parents were lording it over me to do certain works and responsibilities, I never knew it was for the welfare of many people, including myself. I kept looking forward for a time when I would be a grown-up and enjoying my own freedom. And how much I longed for that, because I believed when you are an adult, you are on your own, nobody would want to chastise you. I was looking for a time of being able to choose what to do and what not to do, without the direction of my parents. Little did I know that I was being prepared for authority and responsibility. Little did I know that my parents were doing that to empower me. And after being empowered, I would be required to be responsible. Little did I know that when I became an adult, I would be able to manage my own affairs and also be responsible for others, just like my parents were. Indeed, the autonomy I was seeking for was authority and responsibility, without knowing. I derived the authority by virtue of preparation and finally became independent of the parents. But being independent of my parents did not take away my responsibility from myself. As much as I was now going to be an adult, grown up, able to do his own things, decide where they want to go and live, I could still not take away the element of responsibility. Whether responsibility for myself or responsibility for others. I would equate my childhood with the life of a young or new believer who commit their life to Christ, but they still need the leadership or directorship of the mature Christians, who in this case represents parents in a Christian setting. The same relationship existed between Jesus and his disciples. He always prepared and taught them. He always delegated to them some responsibility. But Jesus himself remained accountable as he was doing this. The scenario only changed when he departed from the disciples. It's when now the disciples were given both authority and responsibility. But when Christ was there with them, he had the authority, but he kept on delegating responsibilities
to the disciples. Sometimes they would fail, and Jesus would complain, but would not give up. After his departure, they were given authority and responsibility, which originally belonged to Jesus. And this authority was to enable them to have power over evil, and the responsibility was to bring the message of atonement, the message of forgiveness, and the renewal of life. This is what was later to become of the apostles, or originally the disciples. So as Christ was going to depart from the earth after death and resurrection, he had spent time like the parents and their children, sometimes sending their children to do some work or take certain responsibilities while they are not giving the children the full authority. The children are still held accountable to the parents. It's just the same way Jesus had a relationship with disciples during his time and his ministry. The intention was to prepare them so that later on, if they were given the authority, they had the knowledge and experience and power to do things which otherwise Jesus would continue to do when he was alive. So when Jesus went and he left, he gave his disciples power over evil. You remember at one point when Christ was still there, they could not even be able to drive away the demons. But look at the book of Acts. When Peter, Paul, and the others are so much engaged in dealing with the evil forces, and they would stamp them out of the people, they were not able to do that when Christ was still there. So they were given the authority, they were given the responsibility to bring the message of atonement, the message of forgiveness, and the message of renewal of life for those who would trust and obey the Lord. And since they had received the authority, they were able to take the good news to everyone, irrespective of racial, religious, political, and any sectarian boundary. After the disciples, which then became the apostles, had been empowered, now they had all the courage and all the ability and all the willingness that Paul is boasting about as he writes to the Corinthians, that he would only boast in preaching the gospel. And it is his responsibility because he has been called to be a steward of the masses. It is after when they had been empowered, but before empowerment, there was preparation. And we remember in Acts 2, when they were gathered in Jerusalem, as was promised by the Lord, is when the Spirit descended on them to give them that authority, which later then would give them the responsibility to take the good news to everyone. It was obedient to the command of going to the world to proclaim what the Lord had handed over to them. So they had to obey the command to go and preach the gospel. Paul is at pains to explain this to the Corinthian church. He understands that he has been given authority and responsibility to preach. In verse 16, in 1 Corinthians 15 that we have read, 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "For necessity is made upon me." Paul is giving a testimony that necessity is laid upon him. What he understands by this is that he has been given a responsibility to ensure that the love and the good news about God is given to everyone. He was able to do all this only when he had been empowered by the Holy Spirit. To those who are confirmed by the laying on of hands, we are graduating them to adulthood, as I one point graduated as a child from my parents, so that they may exercise authority and be responsible and accountable to the gospel. And that is what we mean by doing confirmation in our tradition, that we are emulating what Christ himself did. My brother and sisters have been growing up in your hands. They have been trying to be independent and autonomous on matters of faith until this particular day when they have been able to attain that autonomy. But it's autonomy with responsibility. The autonomy they have attained today is the autonomy of being able to preach the gospel. The autonomy of being able to engage with God and engage with the people of God. But also the autonomy of being responsible
for witnessing the same God whom they have now understood and believed. And I believe it reminds me of my childhood story and my development into adulthood.
We do trust that this they are experiencing inner transformation by the Holy Spirit, who in turn gives them power to go and witness to the world, irrespective of the barriers that may be existing in the world.
There are and there will be challenges, of course, but we are assured, I am with you to the end of the age. So as we start this journey of being responsible Christians, of being people whom God has empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to go and witness, by the laying on of hands, there are battles to be fought. But we are assured it is not our battle. It's the battle of Christ.
And therefore, he says, he is with us up to the end of the age. He is able to carry you through. He is able to make the lame. He is able to make the blind in spirit to walk and see again by using you and us.
That is the authority that God has given his people whom believe and who have been infilled by the Holy Spirit.
We are therefore called to account, but being empowered and being inspired and being supported by Christ himself. It is not our own game. It is the game of Christ.
And therefore, we are assured that we have been given authority and responsibility. But this authority and responsibility is only exercisable by abandoning ourselves to Christ, that through which he is able to renew us from time to time, in spirit, in body, and in mind, that we may be true witnesses for the glory and the redemption of mankind. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.